one question that I've got that I have got to ask, but it is quite an interesting question, is could you explain why you think it's important Greenham is remembered by subsequent generations?
I think, off the top of my head, one of the things is because we succeeded. The other thing is because it was totally women-based and done, and it was peaceful. And all those three things were very important, that to show people that you can succeed. And because the whole thing was created because people communicated with friends by word of mouth. It was before the internet. It was long before mobile phones. And we managed to get people from all over the country to be involved and share their time and their efforts and their thoughts, and all come because they cared about the same cause. Mm. And I think that is quite important to remember.
Yeah. Do you think it could happen now?
I think it would happen in a different way. Mm. I think because women found themselves caring about something, because they were given the opportunity, because we heard about it from friends, neighbours, and we got together in little groups and decided we'd take our cars to Greenham and see what was happening. And so we did that because we were interested that women were standing up against something that we all had heard of CND. We were all part of CND, but all we did was go on marches or demonstrations against nuclear weapons. Mm. All that we shared really was that we wanted a better future for our children. We didn't want war and we didn't want nuclear weapons. Mm. So that's really what started it. But I think also, certainly at the time that I grew up, it was very much the situation that women didn't really have close relationships where they were talking to each other. Before women before a lot of women had high positions in business or anything else, I grew up in a family where my mother, even though she was a midwife, she stayed at home after she'd had children.
Yeah.
And that was quite a common thing. Yeah. And obviously we were the first generation after the war that we were going to get out and have our careers and do everything else. But we didn't necessarily have that close relationship with other women.
Mm.
I went to a girls' school where it was very competitive, not close. And there was... women were sort of not... I don't know. It was almost like everybody was competing for the right man or competing to get into university. Things were very different then. Yeah. And I think, although at the time when I first went to Greenham, I was living in Nailsworth, and Nailsworth is a very forward in alternatives things, and which is why I ended up settling there, because it was a really interesting place to live.
Yeah.
And I think when I first went to Greenham, there was such a lovely atmosphere of caring and sharing.
Yeah.
And it enabled lots of women to forge really close, deep relationships with other women, which they hadn't done before.
Yeah.
And I think that strength, that huge strength that we all found from each other, awakened... It's making me cry.
That's okay.
It really awakened a huge strength in everyone. Mm.
Do you think that society was scared of women having relationships with each other, or do you think it just wasn't valued at the time?
I think when they saw the strength of our commitment to what we were doing and what we could achieve, certain sort of people found it fantastically powerful,
yeah.
And of course a certain sort of male society found it quite threatening and didn't like it at all. Mm. And certainly, although it wasn't political, of course,
yeah.
It was. In that way, you have.
Yeah.
I think that the some of the interesting things that came out of it was that it was the realization that such a big group of women from hugely diverse and age wise or society wise or anything, that they could come together and they could waken things in themselves that they hadn't felt before, and that the strength of that, which meant that people from all over the country just appeared, not really knowing why. And certainly some of the songs that we sang, they were very powerful. I remember one night we decided there was a sign saying, no entry, this is the Royal Air Force property and everything. We decided we wanted it down. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't obviously push it down because at the time the fences were barricaded and paraded. Yeah. So there was a woman that came over from America somewhere, who was a descendant of the Red Indians,
yeah.
And she was an indigenous American,
yeah.
And she came and she said, well, we'll chant it down and we'll sing it down. And we stayed up all night, and there was a huge group of people, and we sang the songs that she taught us and everything, and then eventually went to sleep. And in the morning, it was lying on the floor.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was amazing. And it was, that was, to me, it was one, it was like, wow. And I think being involved in all that, at the time I was a young single parent, and at the time it gave me an enormous amount of strength and confidence just being involved in the whole Greenham thing. And I think that stayed probably with everybody I know who was there. But I think right now we need it again, because, you know, for people to realise that they can, just by the sheer camaraderie of women and the strength of women, we can change the mess that the society's in at the minute. We can get rid of all these awful women who are empowered somehow. Maybe we'll have to go and chant outside number 10.
Yes.
Maybe. That would be a good...
I'm up for giving that a go.
But... And I think at the beginning of certainly when I was first involved in it, before we did Surround the Base, there was a very anti-men thing, and it was important because we had to make sure that it was completely non-violent and there was just the power of women involved in it. And I think that alienated some people until they realised, you know, I had to explain it to lots of men that it wasn't that we were anti-men, it was because we knew that we didn't want violence, and the only way that we could ensure that didn't happen was by making sure that it was just women. Because we used to lie down in front of police horses, and that in itself was... We wouldn't have been able to do that if men had been involved. And again, the some of the women that came over, the indigenous women that came over from America, they said to us, look, it doesn't... If they charge you on police horses, lie on the floor. Well, it's all very well someone saying that to you. But these women just said, look, this is what will happen. They will try and intimidate you. They're coming on police horses. You just have to lie on the floor. The horses will not trample a person lying on the floor. So just believe it. And that day it was raining, and it stopped raining and the floor was very wet. Yeah. And we all went, come on then. And because we wanted to barricade the entrance so they couldn't take in the stuff they needed with the cruise missiles into the site. Yeah. And so we all lay on the floor and the police were all lined up on their horses, like they were going charging in something. And we lay on the floor, and of course the horses didn't. They just sort of gently pawed at the ground and... and they didn't come anywhere near us, and we lay there, and they just had to turn around and go away. And things like that were incredibly empowering things to do.
Yes.
And although once we were sitting around, it was very, very cold, snow on the ground, and we were sitting. I was sitting, I just put a kettle on to boil on a fire that we'd built for some logs. Yeah. And a chap came, I saw some trouble in the distance. Yeah. And there was this man, quite a tall man, and I didn't know who he was. And men weren't allowed in the camp, really. Yeah. And so... he was, and then he just said, could I just, and I sort of went over to see what it was, and realised it was the Archbishop of Canterbury. It was Robert Runcie.
How did you realise? Did you recognise him? Or was he in his habit and mitre?
Well, he had, because I heard the conversation that he was having, and... I heard one of the women saying, you know, something, we don't care if you're the Archbishop of Canterbury, you're a man, sort of thing. I don't think, you know, don't quote me on that, I don't know. Yeah. But the whole situation was because he was male, he wasn't allowed. And, and I went, come, I'm making a cup of tea, come and have a cup of tea. Yeah. So he came and sat down on a log.
Yeah.
And I said, thanks for that. And I made him a cup of tea, and I said to him, he went, yes, I am the Archbishop of Canterbury. I went, oh, gosh, do you take sugar in your tea? And because you just sat there, you know, in your muddy boots. And, but mind you, I can't actually remember. He was probably just wearing a cross round his neck or something. Yeah. I don't expect he was wearing all his robes. I can't actually remember what he was wearing.
Yeah.
But he would have looked a bit daft if he'd been wearing all that, wouldn't he? And he was really interested in what we were doing. He was upset that, I think he was upset because he came as a human being rather than a man.
Yes.
But I explained to him, you know, that we can't have men here because then we wouldn't be able to be peaceful because men would lose their tempers and, you know, they'd be fighting the police. We don't want that. And he did understand that. And he said that, but then I didn't know much about him. I realised afterwards he was quite, because the Conservative Party and the church were always a bit hand in hand, weren't they? And he was very much not, like, he was quite a socialist, really. And so, and he really cared about, and he really agreed with us about the cruise missiles.
Yeah.
So him being there was actually quite a big statement for him.
Yeah.
And he was very interested in what we were doing. And I know he afterwards alienated himself quite a lot from the Conservative Party because of the things that they were doing and whatever.
Yeah.
And he was very much supportive of women in the church and all sorts of things. So he was quite a breath of fresh air in that he wasn't, he didn't come to say, oh, and God will, nothing silly that, you know. It was more that he was just interested in how we were. I think he was interested because there's all these people were flocking there, And he was interested in the spirituality of it, that was bringing it together, because obviously it was nothing, it was bigger than...
And there was, because the Methodists I know and Quakers, I mean, I am aware that the Methodists and the Quakers, especially, were quite heavily involved.
The Quakers were always very involved, but then they're very...
pacifist.
They're very pacifist, and they're also very socialist, aren't they?
Yes.
I think there were a lot of Quakers involved in the first Greenham stuff, but I don't know.
And where did you camp when you were there? Was it a particular gate, or did you camp at various places?
The Green Gate.
Yes.
We were at most of the time. It was only small camp.
Yeah.
I was camped with about four other tents when I first went, but there were other people for quite a long way around there. Yeah.
And was there a reason you chose that gate in particular, or was it just somewhere that you ended up?
I think that's the first... No, I think it was just where we ended up. And also we wanted to be able to see... I wanted to be able to see the site and the signs. And we were by... There was a, can't remember what they called it now, a big dome on the camp, which was, I think it was where a lot of the...
Was it one of the silos?
Think it was a silo where we thought most of the stuff was there that we were worried about. Yeah. And we wanted to be able to get under the fence, over the fence, in the fence, and to climb
on it.
So that was the idea. So that was why we were at that particular site. In fact, we did. But I didn't want to get arrested because I got two small children. So I made the tea. but everyone did get arrested. And so
Did you have your children with you at the camp?
I was the only person allowed to have a male. In fact, they presumed that... I had two daughters, but then some people in the yellow camp found out there was a man sleeping at the camp. Mm. It was only my son. He was only, I think, seven.
So was there an age limit on male children?
No, there were just no males allowed there. So I don't think it was that, was nothing organised like that at all. It's just that... He was very conscious that he probably was the only man on site apart from the policeman at the time we were there.
And how did he find that?
He thought it was funny. He used to, the policeman thought it was funny too. And in fact, he used to be good friends with some of them. They used to take him off and buy him hot dogs and ice cream. Well, no, not ice creams, it's winter. But they used to. He used to get on well with them. And they were all a nice bunch of chaps. They weren't.
Yeah.
They weren't in any way aggressive to us at all.
Yeah.
And he used to.
How long were you there for?
Well, I was there in bits and pieces because it was very cold.
Yeah.
And so we'd just go and stay for a week or something, and then we'd go back home and wash and everything, and then we'd go back again. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I went just with my son, because it was too cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, camping in the snow, it was the first time the children thought that was really good fun, and it wasn't cold.
Yeah.
Once we'd got all the blankets put on the floor and everything, and the sleeping bags in, it was actually... It was all right. It was a novelty for one night, but camping in the snow, I haven't done it since.
And did the children, were they in school? Were there a lot of children there?
No, there weren't many children there at all.
Yeah.
No, I think most of the time I was. Most of the time I didn't, because I would just go for a weekend.
Yeah.
And then we all had children, but we used to look after each other's children.
Yeah.
So three of us would go to the camp, one of us would look after the children over the night. So what we did, because obviously when we first went, we stayed there for a week, and when we did the surround around the base, that when we were there for quite times. But after that, what we used to do is just leave our stuff in the tents and things, and then someone else would keep watch over them, and then we just go back for a couple of nights at a time. And so people used to do it because that way you could keep your life going at home, the children could go to school. My daughter didn't go to school, she was only two, so she would come backwards and forwards with me, but we managed it really, and everybody helped each other. So
were there a lot of single parents, or did you feel, or were there married,
there were people from every, not necessarily, no, because a lot of people didn't have their children with them. No, they were mostly were traditional people in traditional jobs, and they would, and often there were people who had children at school, and they would arrange for someone else to do their children at school and things. No, it wasn't necessarily single parents at all. A lot of the people there didn't have children, the younger people, they were... I think, I mean, there were people there who were retired. You know, there were people there camping overnight. There were retired doctors. There were a lot of people of all pathways, really. You know, there were... I remember this vicar's wife being there, and she was quite elderly, and she was like, well... there's no good praying in churches. We've got to be out and showing what we mean to help, you know. For so she was very much going from a Christian element, or at least a caring element, you know, trying to say, well, this is what... So it was interesting that... and the... but, of course, there were lots of alternative types... because it was an alternative thing to do. So... But I'm not going to... I mean, it was more or less, it was a cross-section of people from... you know, yes, there were single parents, yes, there were gay people, but there are in every part of life. There really was a cross-section of people. And the wonderful thing about it was everybody got on... perfectly well, regardless of who they were or what age they were. It was just a really powerful thing. And I think, I'm really think that people should be calling on that at the moment and changing things.
So was all of your experience there positive, or were there any things there that were unexpected or negative? Or, I mean, in general, people got on.
I don't think I saw anything negative, no.
And the police, you said, were fairly benign.
Yes, yes, I think that it... the whole atmosphere there was one of strength and... no, I don't remember... I'm trying to think of something now. No, it was just amazing because everybody, there were loads and loads of local people as well, used to drive up to the fence and bring us food, and people used to take big cartons of water and fill those up for us, and people used to bring us firewood. So no, it was...
so that there was quite a lot of local support that you experienced.
There was support from all over the country.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you... you don't ask people that are bringing you a pile of logs if they're local or not. But no, they... there was a huge amount of support from people. And people used to bring us, cook food for us. So I suppose they were locals.
I know in some of the things that I've read about it, that, you know, there was... there's a suggestion of antagonism between the residents of Newbury and the camp on the common.
Oh, I'm sure there probably was. There's always right-wing idiots everywhere, aren't there? But they... I personally didn't come across that. I mean, obviously I was in the right place at the right time. But when, oh, but then we did do some marches. And of course there, although there'd be lots of people supporting you, there would be, yes, quite a lot of negative
energy.
Yes. No, because that was going away from the common when we went on marches to do different things and But actually at the common itself I didn't come across anything.
So you mentioned that there were Indigenous American women came.
They were fantastic.
Were there many women who came from the States?
Well, I met I only met three. I tell you, there was some an elderly woman from Japan I met there. So there were people coming, sort of wise women from all over the place came, and someone from where was she? I think she might have been from South America somewhere. And they, so there were very interesting women who obviously heard the call and appeared. I just don't know.
And where do you think the experience of knowing that the horses wouldn't trample you, or was there, were they coming from a place where they had used non-violent resistance in their own struggles, or... Or was it some sort of innate knowledge?
Well, I don't know. I think possibly it was more the fact that they knew.
They just knew.
And they told us, and we believed them. I mean, it wasn't like we're going to prove this. It was just like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you come, if you're used to, and you're, you know, we're talking quite a long time ago now, and they came. Perhaps they just knew that because they'd grown up and that was just something that they knew as part of handling horses. They knew that. I don't know.
Yeah. Sounds like there was a lot of sharing of ideas
absolutely.
And knowledge and experience.
Well, there really was, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'm looking down my little... So what was it like sort of having your daughter and your son there... Did they enjoy the experience, do you think?
I think... That's a funny question. I don't know whether enjoy is the right word. I mean, it's not like taking them to the adventure park for
Right.
Is it?
Enjoy isn't the right word.
I think it was definitely an experience I'm really, really pleased that they experienced with me. I was very much a mother that shared things, treated my children like friends. Mm-hmm. So if I was doing something like that, I would have wanted them to have been with me. And I think it was definitely a good thing for them to have been involved in.
And
I think probably they did. I think retrospectively, my son, I think, was very proud and still is that he was part of that thing. And because, you know, to the Americans lost. And knowing that you can achieve that in a non-violent way is a great thing to know and carry inside that you were involved in something like that. It's good.
Yes, I think so. And for parents who left their children to attend the camp, was that ever talked about, or was there?
Oh, I'm sure there was. There was all. Oh, you can imagine. What's the name? Linda Lee Potter. You know, the Daily Mail. Oh, they had headlines about all sorts of things. But you know, stirring hatred against these. You know, people who weren't fitting the norm, that's what's expected as a common cannon fodder type people. But they, I think most women rose above that. Of course, there is always those sort of there's that side of society that's going to read that and go, oh, yeah. But, of course, that's what they want you to think, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a shame that there aren't more people out doing it now.
Yes.
But there was a negative thing, but the none of the people I know came away from it with anything other than being really proud of their mothers or really proud of themselves. And the fact that we, as I said to you earlier, the fact that women banded together to look after the children so they could all go to school and the women could still do that. It was definitely organised in such a way the children weren't damaged in any way by it. And if, as I say, if anything, it was a great thing that they were involved in. Yeah. I think that I personally don't know of anything bad that happened from it at all.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of the people that, certainly that age group of children now, if they discover that their mother was also involved at Greenham Common, they immediately have a bond.
Yeah.
And it's a huge bond because it singles out the sort of background you come from. It also definitely... I mean, when I bought this house last year, there was there's a house over there that, and there were some people going in out of it. And it was strange because the woman was dressed in purple, green and white.
Yes.
And I thought, my goodness, she looks like she's just come from Greenham Common. And I was out there and she came out and I said to her, you know, I've been seeing you going in and out of there and you just reminded me of Greenham Common.
Yeah.
And she said, were you at Greenham Common? And I said, yes. And she went, oh, how wonderful. And I said, why? She said, oh, I've been reading all about it. And because I met someone that was at Greenham Common and she said, I've been involved in some marches recently and being involved in all this feminist. And she said, oh, I'm so pleased to have met someone that was actually there. Yeah. And I thought that was really funny. I never actually expected
the status that comes with it.
Well, that was the first and only time that's happened. But,
maybe it'll happen some more as we remind people of what a epic thing it was.
Well, it was, but it wasn't. I think apart from the fact, of course, that we got the Americans to scuttle off and take their cruise, because they did. They took them away, didn't they? They were gone.
Yeah.
They just.
So at what point did you feel that you had won or that you'd prevailed? Was it when the Americans closed the base? Or was it at the end of the Cold War?
I think when the when they gave up, you could literally see it peeling away at the edges.
Really?
It was like, you know, it was a bit like the, you know, shiny gate and the sun shines on it. It just, because the police basically weren't going to do anything about us because we all got on, we were all being very nice and happy and friendly, and there was nothing they could do because they couldn't, you know, probably now they'd get water cannons on us or something, but then if they couldn't organise us out the way with their horses, there was nothing else they could do. And so, and then I think probably because they realised they weren't going to be able to bring in the equipment they needed, they just sort of gave up. And then that was very pleasant, watching them trundle off with all their stuff.
Yeah.
That was very pleasant, And because they knew that whatever they did, we would get in there and we would be jumping on the silos.
Yeah.
They just knew it. And now, of course, as I say, you wouldn't. They would get more force out, wouldn't they? And, but at the time, we basically won. And then they did. Because they couldn't bring any more stuff in, and I think they just, their plan was that they were going to have cruise missile bases all over England. I think there were 4 or 5 sites they were planning. But they, it made it quite obvious that they were just going to meet, they, I think they just thought, we can't be bothered with that, and they will go somewhere else.
So what do you think it is that stops people doing something similar again? Do you think it was a unique time, or do you think...
I think it was a unique time. I think it was that all sorts of things are happening, weren't there? And as I said, it was the change in attitude. It was women were changing in all sorts of... You know, feminism was a new word. It wasn't just a normal thing for women to be standing up for themselves. Then it was... we were still fighting for equal pay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was very much a new thing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily new. I mean, there were obviously still people that were doing, but it wasn't the norm.
Yeah.
And so I think it was there for the taking, that women, something to unite us and build on that untapped energy that it needed mending. You know, I mean, I think we'd been, you know, the male had been very dominant for quite a time, hadn't it? Wars and all that.
I wonder whether you feel like women have taken a step back since that time. What do you...
No, I don't think it's women that have taken a step back. I think society as a whole has taken a step back. Well, look, we've had a Conservative government. That just shows people were socialists then. Yeah. People understood, you know, the Conservative was a bad word then. You know, to some of us, obviously, but. There was far more a radical approach where you knew like I said to you earlier, we would be out on the streets demonstrating if we didn't like something, and there were groups of students were going and joining up, and there were big people used to go. Society was very different. People used to have. Youth clubs and things that they depended on. We didn't have all the social media and everything else, so the communication was more verbal and active.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, so there was very much more common ground. People from different backgrounds would meet up in all sorts of different ways.
Mm.
And I think we definitely need more of that. Yeah.
Are there any other stories that you feel need telling of people you met or your own experiences?
I could go on for hours and hours. There were all sorts of amazing people I met there, and certainly still know, but I think just off the top of my head, that's the
Are you still in touch with people that you met at Greenwood?
Oh yes.
Yeah. And are they all, what do they do now? What do people go on and do after Greenham? What was it like when it ended?
Well, most people didn't change anything. They just used what they had, and it wasn't like they changed their lives or they stopped their lives. They didn't change anything. They just took time out and organised each other. I think the thing that changed most is that people knew then that they could. It gave people a lot of strength, and I think a lot of people, it made them realise that if you needed something, you could get in touch with someone and ask, and they would help.
Yeah.
I think very much that's still the same with the group of people we knew, and certainly I think... I think that is still the same.
Yeah.
In that, unfortunately, not everybody's like that. You know, like the first thing I did when I moved here was visit the neighbours, make sure I knew everybody, which is how I managed to. But, and then I still do, and that's very much part of that sort of thing. And people are quite surprised.
Yeah.
But you have to, but because of what I learnt there, I do try and live like that, if you see what I mean.
Connect with the people around you.
I think it's really important to do that. But